Hey everyone, I'm your host, Catherine Balsi, and welcome to Unpack with Kat. I'm literally always so excited. I always start the episode off like that, but it's truly so refreshing to just come, sit, talk about my favorite topics, and share with a community of people that I love and adore. So I'm ecstatic. I'm still hoping that everyone's year has started off on a good note, everyone's feeling good, and if that's not the case, I know it's going to turn around for you. I know storms don't last forever, and usually I just get straight into the topic, but I feel like I have one significant update that I've just been thinking about all the time. So I started this new series on TikTok where I share what it was like growing up in England, Thailand, and Japan as a Black girl. I think that it's really interesting. I think it's also something that I could talk about on here in depth. If you would like it, just let me know. But I was going to record my Thailand segment and I was literally getting emotional thinking about it, pulling different photos to use for the video. I was like, you know what? We've got to take the trip. I've been delaying this for so long because I'm not used to flying for 20 hours anymore. Like, I don't know how I did it as a kid. I was such a trooper. Honestly, I'm always just like, 20 hours. Can I do 20 hours? Like, up in the air. I don't know. But yeah, I just pulled the trigger. And so I've been planning and thinking about it, and I'm just like, wow, is this really real? So I had to tell y'all that. And of course, I'm gonna share everything, show y'all where I grew up, show y'all my old school, the neighborhood, what it was like, the culture, the food. I'm just really, really excited, and I had to share that with you all because I couldn't get into the topic without saying it. So before I share the reminders that I always say at the beginning of each episode, I do want to highlight that this episode, this topic, talking about healing my relationship with food and movement, definitely may not be for everyone. Like I always say, when I go to publish an episode, I'm never thinking, wow, this is going to resonate with absolutely every single person that listens. It's never, ever my intention to trigger somebody, to make someone feel uncomfortable, but I recognize that this is a really sensitive subject. And it's a subject that people might not be comfortable or ready to listen to. And that's just like perfectly okay. There's never any pressure. And so I'm sending you so much love. My intention behind this episode is to basically hopefully provide a different mindset surrounding the topics that I just mentioned, to provide insight, to provide advice, and really just share the changes I've made. But I don't want to cause any harm. So I want to make sure there's a trigger warning just in case. But if you feel like this is a topic that you are comfortable listening to, then as always, I really hope that you take care of yourself as you listen to this episode and just listen to whatever your body is asking for, whether that's to relax, get something to eat, get something to drink, move a little bit, decompress, whatever it may be, just listen to your body as you listen to this and let's get into it. So this topic has definitely been on my heart for quite some time, and it's actually been requested really, really often, but I strayed away from it because I honestly just didn't think that I was ready to speak on it from a helpful place. But in the last year, I've really made so many changes and I feel confident speaking on it. Beginning to heal the relationship I have with food and movement was truly of the utmost importance to me because in my eyes, it's really, really hard to avoid. Like if you have an unhealthy relationship with, let's say, like a person or a particular place or an object, I find that it can be sometimes easy to set them aside, avoid, and ignore until you want to address it. But food and movement, they really take up a lot of space in my everyday life and in my headspace. So I found that healing these relationships has a drastic positive impact on the quality of my everyday life. And so I would love to share. I plan to split this episode up into two sections. The first being healing my relationship with food and the second being healing my relationship with movement. But first, I feel like it's really important to discuss healing my relationship with my body. Or maybe better wording is adjusting the mindset I have surrounding my body. Unfortunately, I've observed that it's really common for children to grow up watching their parents, more often their mother, make constant negative comments about their body and eventually make negative comments about their children's bodies. Like, it's truly so heartbreaking. I grew up seeing that behavior constantly. There was always conversations about losing weight, diet culture, aiming for a certain size. It's always been a high-ranked goal for the new year or a goal for a trip coming up or an event. or a birthday. There were so many conversations about how clothes looked on the body and how being a certain weight meant being able to wear certain clothes. And then outside of my home and school, once I hit a certain age, that became a very common conversation among my peers, like just complaining or comparing different aspects of our body as we change for gym or for our extracurriculars. Then social media came on the scene and my exposure to body comments just grew exponentially. It was so unhealthy. I think one of the saddest things is by the fifth or sixth grade, I was already writing in my diary that I needed to lose weight. I think it shows just how much I heard those words, how normal it was to me, and how important it became to me to monitor my body in the same way I observed others doing. And on the flip side of that, once I got to high school, there was a huge shift. Like all of a sudden, it's I need to gain weight as soon as possible because those are the comments that I started to hear. So my point is that on both sides of the coin, there was always something I needed to do to change the way that my body looked. I was never satisfied with my body, never kind to it. It's like it could do nothing right to me. There was always something it could improve. And that mindset right there is the mindset I have actively worked to change and really want to share with you all. I now view my body with such high regard, the utmost respect, so much love, so much kindness, and it has nothing to do with what it looks like and everything to do with all it has done for me and all it will continue to do for me in this life. Similar to how I say we have this one life and the relationship we have with ourselves is so important, in my eyes, the same applies to our body, but actually when I think about it, our body is a part of the relationship we have with ourselves because we are given one body and our body will carry and protect and care for us for our entire lives. I mean, it is the one thing in this world that will unconditionally show up for us in so many ways. When I think about the fact that for 22 years, my body has gotten me through every single day, it's been pumping oxygen, it's been keeping my heart beating, it's been keeping my brain alert, it's created so many different neural pathways. It's strengthened so many different synapses. It's made so many connections. It's kept my speech going. It's expanded my vocabulary. It's currently in this moment keeping my ears intact and functioning to listen to my favorite music, podcasts, shows, movies. My eyes are functioning for most of the day just to give me the ability to see the world. It's working all the time to digest whatever I consume. And as someone with a womb, it has the ability to create, carry, and bring an entire human being into this world. I mean, like, absolutely amazing. The average person takes 22,000 breaths a day. So my lungs are working constantly, even when I'm resting. Even as I'm speaking right now, and as an able-bodied person, every part of my body moves when I ask it to. The very fact that all of my fingers, toes, arms, legs, neck, head, back respond when I send a request, like I'm in awe of my body. What a trooper. It is something I have unconditional gratitude for. I mean, even when I'm sick, my body does everything in its power to fight it off. My body does everything in its power to tell me if a situation is sketchy, a person has wrong intentions, or if food isn't for me. Like, I know this all may sound pretty corny at first, but genuinely, the second I sat down and really thought about this, the harder it was for me to ever scrutinize my body. Like, I'm truly not kidding. On some serious, serious stuff, how dare I even think to talk down on the very thing carrying me through life? Seriously, how dare I? Like, I never once heard this perspective growing up, never once. And now I get up in the morning and I'm seriously not joking. When I get out of bed, I thank my body for getting me through the night and getting me up for the day. Like, it's something I took for granted, the fact that when I go to sleep, I'm going to wake up and my entire body is going to listen to me. That's such a blessing. And the second I adopted this mindset, it's crazy how quick it applied to everyone else as well. Because if I'm not going to say anything negative about my body, how dare you even think to offer an unsolicited opinion? Like, are you getting me through every day? And do you plan to get me through the rest of my life? Oh, okay. I thought so. Your words hold no value to me. So, if you struggle with negative body talk, every time you think to speak down to your body, I encourage you to try and reflect on all your body did for you in just that day. Like, seriously, write it all down from the top of your head to your toes. What did your body do and what is it doing in that moment? And then see if you can still say something negative. Because me personally, I'm like, how could I say such a thing to my greatest, most loving friend? And I really mean that. So now let's shift and discuss what healing my relationship with food looks like. Because as I've already said, I grew up in an environment where after a big meal, I may hear, oh, I need to go burn this off, or I'm going on a diet starting tomorrow, or I feel really, really bad for eating that. Like the list really goes on. I watched restrictive eating, I saw binge eating. I saw the most complex relationships with food, and it was difficult for me not to pick up on some of those habits, not to be so very aware of everything I consumed. And I also have to mention that if food scarcity has ever been an issue in your family, that can really affect your relationship with food as well, because not everyone grows up in a house where there is more than enough food, where there's enough for you to have seconds, enough for you to have your own plate without sharing, enough for food to be this peaceful, joyful experience, you know what I mean? Or even while you're eating, there may be a lot of comments on how you are eating. You're not sitting properly. You're not eating meat enough. You need to finish your plate or you can't leave the table. I mean, my goodness, just a lot of harmful conversations have centered around food for many, many people. And so as I've entered young adulthood, I've had to really understand that food is one of the most important ways I can nourish my body. Point blank, period. And as I've discussed, because I view my body with the utmost respect, because I value all that it does for me, because I love it so very much, food is never, ever something that needs to be earned. It's not something that needs to be burned off. It's not something I need to fear. Food is so very beneficial for the bodily functions that I spoke of earlier. And so I have made an active priority to eat consistently, learn about the concept of intuitive eating, and learn about what kind of foods are beneficial and nutritious for the body. So when it comes to intuitive eating, I started realizing, wow, if I pay attention, if I'm present, if I'm calm, it's quite obvious my body feels so different when I eat different types of meals. Like, y'all, I'm gonna ride for soul food till I die. There is so much history behind soul food, so much love, so much connection, so many memories. But after I eat a plate of soul food, I am ready for bed. Like always, I am so sleepy, I'm so lethargic. So I had to understand that, okay, yes, I love my soul food. I really, really do. There's no need to fear it. There's no need to speak negatively on it. But knowing the effect it has on my body, knowing that I want food to be a source of energy for me, I'm not going to eat soul food every day of the week. And I don't need to label it as quote unquote bad food. I don't need to make it a huge deal. I'm just going to actively choose meals that I know energize me, that I know aren't so hard for my body to digest, that I know won't leave me feeling nauseous. And so I've fallen in love with salmon, berries, granola, rice, sweet potatoes, pasta of all kinds, spinach, bell peppers, eggs, avocados, apples. Like, if you follow me on Instagram, you probably always see my food stories. But what I love is that, again, it has nothing to do with what my body looks like and everything to do with what my body feels like. There are no negative, harmful thoughts floating through my head as I eat. There is just gratitude, enjoyment, and fulfillment. And that to me is so healing. I'm also able to listen to my body better while I'm eating now. Like, I'm able to stop when I'm full, even if I didn't finish all my food. I'm able to listen if something isn't digesting well. It's like we're collaborators. We're working together. We're working to see what works and what doesn't. And that's the beautiful thing, letting my body guide me and being an active listener. I mean, an amazing combination. I'm also seeking to lean less into the fear of food and more into the joy. Like, there's so many variations when it comes to food, so many recipes, so many flavors, so many cultures to explore and experience through food and traditions, so many ways to connect over food, to socialize, to bond, to support, to celebrate. I mean, it's so beautiful. And it's something I want to prioritize in the home I create and the relationships that I build. So if you relate to growing up in an environment where there was a lot of negative talk around food, or maybe you had relationships both romantically and platonically where there was a lot of negative talk around food, or maybe it was in your school environment, or maybe it's been in gyms that you've gone to, or maybe it's even been in work environments or on social media, whatever it may be, you may have unconsciously picked up on those attitudes, and you might be noticing as I'm speaking how often your brain goes to that while you're eating. So I'd really encourage you to just really tune into your body. Like, everyone's body is unique. And so that uniqueness really applies to everything in the world, but definitely food. Every person's body is going to respond to food differently. And so I think really taking that time to be present, to be aware, to be thoughtful and mindful will just help you so much. Like, what feels good to your body? What leaves you feeling good? That's honestly what I think everyone should prioritize. Like, I just think that's what life's about. So let's now shift and talk about movement. So I think a lot of people can relate to growing up and during school or in your extracurricular activities, movement was used as punishment. Like, for me, I would hear, oh, you guys aren't listening? Go run a mile. Oh, you guys got lost? Go run an extra lap. Maybe it was just me, but movement outside of, let's say, a game we were doing wasn't really seen as this fun, enjoyable thing. Or if movement was used to burn off the quote-unquote big meal, it again was a source of punishment, and therefore fear and anxiety could begin to surround it. I don't know if I've mentioned on here that I was an athlete all through elementary, middle school, and high school, but outside of practice, movement was never something I engaged in intentionally for enjoyment of any kind. I didn't really see movement as enjoyment because a lot of the exercises I did were so intense that I could barely see straight. It's seriously strange that that's how they measured if it was a quote-unquote good workout. But with all that being said, I have shifted my mindset around movement. Now, it's something I prioritize and I'm intentional about making space for enjoyment, compassion, relaxation, anxiety release, and so much more while I'm doing it. And how I achieve that is, for starters, not doing movement I think I should do, but movement that I want to do and that feels good to me, like yoga, bike rides, walks, swimming, dancing. I love it. I get excited about it. It makes my day sometimes because it's not activities I dread doing. Secondly, I used to speak to myself so harshly and critically while I engaged in movement, like, you're not doing this right, Kat. Go harder, try harder, you're pretty bad at this. And reflecting, I'm like, why, excuse my language, but why the hell would I be motivated to engage in movement if it was always an internal beat up session? If it was always so discouraging, always so high in anxiety, like, seriously, what is motivating about that? I am so much kinder and compassionate to myself while I'm engaging in movement now. Like, oh, you're struggling with this pose? That's okay. Just give it your best shot. You're tired? Okay, let's finish this lap and call it a day. You need a rest day? Okay, let's do it. Like, the way in which I speak to myself has drastically changed my willingness to even show up. And that's so important. Third, movement is no longer what I need to do. It's all about what I get to do. Like I said earlier, to be able-bodied and to move my body day in and day out, and even in this very moment, is a privilege, an incredibly high privilege that I no longer take for granted. And so knowing that it makes me feel good and knowing that it benefits my body in so many ways, like, the studies don't lie, it is absolutely something I prioritize, but again, it's in a way that isn't harmful for me. I encourage you to reflect on the relationship you have with movement all the way back to when you were born. Like, go all the way back. What was it like when you were a child? What was it like when you were a teen? What's it like now? What do you think the different factors are? What do you think affects it? Do you engage in movement that you enjoy? Is it something that you resent? Why do you think that is? How do you feel after? What is your self-talk like during it? What are the environments that you're doing it in? Like asking yourself those type of questions, really reflecting on it, really thinking about it, I think is the first step on kind of just trying to see what's going on, but also a step in a more positive direction to be able to make changes. And I forgot to mention this as I was talking about food, but I think that it's equally important. Like go back, trace all the way back. What are your earliest memories surrounding food? What was the environment in your home like surrounding food? What were the conversations like around food? Were you feeling anxiety around it? How did you feel? And you can kind of ask yourself those questions for little you, but also, like I said, maybe preteen and teen you, and then later on you, and just kind of walk up and see what were the different influences, what were the different factors, what was present in your relationships. It's really great to reflect so that you can get a bigger picture of it. Sometimes I often don't realize why something's bothering me till I ask myself those questions, until I really sit and think about it, because memories are so buried. And so sometimes when we're able to identify the root, it's a lot easier to begin addressing it, because it's like, okay, well, these are the changes that I can make. Okay, well, this is what I can work towards. And so I just really encourage doing that reflection. It's also really important, I mentioned, that to maintain the mindset shifts I've made while healing my relationships with food and movement and my body, I have been very intentional about the content I consume, the people I follow, the people I surround myself with, the conversations I engage in, and the environments I aspire to be in. So I will quickly block and unfollow when I see similar language to the language I grew up around. It's very damaging, and really, it's really something I don't need to take in at all. I refuse to hang out around people who talk bad about their body every single time we're together, because I've noticed that it really does rub off on me, even if I don't recognize it right away. And regarding the environments, there are certain environments in which these values, the values of having like a healthy relationship with food and movement, are not at the forefront whatsoever. There are certain social scenes, certain events, certain business fields, certain locations. And so when I envision my life, I envision a life in which having a healthy relationship with food and movement and my body is at the forefront of the environments I seek or aspire to be in. I recognize that if I were to enter or aspire to be in those environments, how much it would begin to influence me and trigger me. And I just know that's not good for me. And so that's why it's just so important what you're engaging in, who you're surrounded by. Because again, as a psych major, I truly know how much our brain can unconsciously pick up and store things we might not even like be manually like, okay, remember that. But our brain is just doing it for us. Oh, okay, I'm hearing this all the time. Okay, I'm going to keep that in the back of my mind. And then the way that can unconsciously influence a lot of our decisions and a lot of our thoughts. And so I really, really think this is so important and honestly like non-negotiables for me. So obviously, I feel like I've kind of said my piece. I feel like I've touched on what I thought was the most important, what I thought really needed to be heard. But these topics are complex. I can go so much deeper. Everyone can go so much deeper, but this is kind of the level that I feel most knowledgeable about and most confident to speak on, but it's definitely an ongoing conversation. I'm like I always say, I'm only 22, and so I'm sure older me will have different thoughts, different experiences, and more to bring to the conversation. But I just think that knowing my demographics and knowing how many people really do struggle with their relationship with food, movement, their body, how common this is, I think this is a very timeless subject. And I'm hoping that things that I said about really seeing how much your body does for you day in, day out, and in this moment, shifting that to just be forever grateful, forever loving, forever compassionate, forever soft and extending grace and ease. Like, if anyone needs it, it's your body. Like, it's a trooper of all troopers. Because even our iPhones, like, they get a little break. You know what I'm saying? Like the tools that we're like, oh my goodness, this is the best thing in the world. They get a break, okay? My clothes are on their rack relaxing. My jewelry, my makeup, my different products that I love, they are relaxing. My body is getting no break, okay? No let up. So I really just encourage you to think like that. And what I said about food, maybe this is something you already knew in your spirit, but it's really nice to have a refresher, really nice to have a reminder, really nice to hear it from somebody else, because I often will be like, oh yeah, I know that, but it was nice to hear it. Or if you've never heard of some of the things that I was thinking about, maybe it's something good to reflect on and something good to share with somebody. Like when people try and engage in negative body talk with me, I'm like, oh no, babe, not my body. She's doing so much for me. I'm sorry, I cannot say anything. I cannot add to this conversation, and I really don't think that you should do the same. Like strengthening this mindset to be able to strengthen your boundaries, oh, a powerful combo. So like I said, I think I touched on the main points, but this is a continuing conversation. I hope that this resonated. I hope that it's something that you can apply to your life. If you feel like there's someone that needs to hear this, don't hesitate to share. I always say, I just want this to reach whoever needs to hear it. That's the goal, always. I've appreciated the love, the support, especially on my series. I'm definitely like always talking on here, but I don't usually talk in my videos. Well, I do a voiceover, but I don't usually just get in front of the camera and talk. And so getting out my comfort zone but being met with so much love really does mean so much to me. And I just, I always just feel so loved and so appreciated. And I'm just forever grateful, forever thankful, really excited for what's to come, really excited for this Thailand trip. I cannot wait to share. I hope everyone's been having a good week, and I'm hoping some of what I said today you can carry with you throughout the week, throughout your month, whatever it may be. I'm so beyond grateful that you tuned into this episode. I will see you in the next one.